Acts 1 and 8 says, but we shall receive the power, and after that, the Holy Ghost. Or 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the power and that of love. Luke 10 and 19 says, behold, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and the power over your enemies.
K-A-Y-T FM. Broadcasting on the cutting edge of technology. You can't stop, can't stop, can't stop, can't stop listening. You're tuned in to the voice of the gospel, beaming the gospel in three states to over 100,000 listeners. 70,000 watts of continuous gospel power. K-A-Y-T FM.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. What an awesome God. God, you're awesome. God, you're mighty. Lord, you're wonderful. In spite of what I've been through, in spite of me and my imperfections, God, you're still good. I don't know why, but you did it. Hallelujah. I don't know how, but you did it. I don't know why, but you're faithful. You're faithful to me. Hallelujah. And I'm only standing here because of you. If it had not been for you on my side, oh God, where would I be? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship. We praise your name. Come on, just tell him you love him. Tell him, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Come on, ain't enough people say it. He loves you back. Lord, I love you. Come on, talk to him. Don't be ashamed. Lord, I love you. Come on, shout it out. You need people to know you love God. Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now for your loving kindness, your strength, your mercy, your peace, your grace. Everything, Lord, you give to us, we thank you. Father, we pray that you touch every soul in the building. Father, not only their soul, but touch everybody in the building. Father, we thank you right now for your love and your compassion. With the finger of love, you've healed us and helped us. And Lord God, with your compassion, you've heard us and you've answered our call and cry. Father, we thank you right now. Lord God, I pray that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Thank you for the authority and the anointing to speak your word. Father, I thank you right now for your Holy Spirit who guides me and speaks through me to all of us. Father, we thank you now. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, the hearts of the hearers be the tablet today, which we shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, joy, prosperity to all that hear and believe. Let your people receive it with joy, Lord God. Let them understand, Lord God, with a heart of understanding. Father, we give you glory and praise now. After you've touched, delivered, healed, set free, encouraged, built up, changed our lives, we'll be careful to give you glory and praise. Father, and we will join in with many winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you're holy God. You're holy God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 I want to use this for a topic, title, tag, and a thought. Let go and let's grow. Amen. Let go and let's grow. Fight just because I like to fight. I did. And you could tease me, taunt me, and talk to me, or talk about me, and I would fight. But when I got older,
You can tease me, talk about me, and taunt me, and I don't move. Matter of fact, you might get blessed if you do it. Because I know, and I'm talking about a real blessing, because I know the value of forgiveness and blessing your enemy. Because I have matured. The Bible says give your enemy water when he's thirsty and bread. Oh, we want to give him Four Sisters on Thumb Street. That's what we want to do. A knuckle sandwich. That's your bread. That's what I'm feeding. Yeah. That's what we want. But the Bible don't say that. And woe unto the preachers that preach that. Because you're not preaching love. Amen. And so you got to learn when you mature, you forgive those people. And you know what else? They don't have to come to you and beg you, partner. Did I say that right, partner? They don't have to come to you and say, forgive me, I did you wrong. I repent to you. Because you can forgive them without that. And I chose to forgive people who never said a word of repentance to me. You know why? Because I grew. I grew. And I'm not bragging on me, but this is what God done. Not because I could do, I was thinking I could slap some people to sleep. My hand's big enough. But that would be an immature thing to do. Let me tell you something. Can I be transparent? While a long time back, I told somebody, yeah, boy, I said, I slap them to sleep. I said, who they gonna tell? It's too embarrassing for them to say he slapped me to sleep. I said, I catch them by themselves and just slap them to sleep. Who they gonna tell? You ain't gonna go tell somebody I got slapped to sleep. That's how I thought. I know y'all laughing, but that was my immature mind. But now, I don't want to slap them. I slap high five and bless them. Slap a Pentecost offering in their hand and keep rolling. Let them know that you ain't stopped nothing because you lied. I said this the other week. I don't care who say they praying, who you say or think praying against you. You cannot curse what God has already blessed. Let me tell you something. Let them do the work of the witch. The Bible said that the witch will be burned. So let them work like a witch and watch what God does. All right, let me. So don't be moved. Grow up and don't be moved. Look at this. He says, that every spot of slate of men and cunning craft and his people, they are cunning. They lie in wait to deceive you. There's a lot of deception going on in the church world today. You got like the other day, another preacher who is a famous YouTube preacher, I guess you could say. He declared that hell was a fairy tale. And then all of a sudden, this big debate. And then you got these immature preachers who say, well, you know, I got that revelation too. The devil is alive. And then you got those that say, well, we don't need to condemn him yet. Well, it ain't about condemning him, but I'm through with you. Because the Bible says, look, the Bible says, Paul said, if any man come preaching anything else, let him be a what? Accursed. So I ain't got to condemn you because God already had a place for you. Now, he can come to repentance, and that's good if he repents, but I'm not going to be playing around with his doctrine. I'm not going to follow any of his teachings because that could lead me to a fairy tale. Lord have mercy. That could lead me into what? Where I'm going to go then? If you don't believe in hell, then you're possibly saying there ain't no heaven either. So I don't know what's next. And I don't want to end up in Wonderland. Y'all watch. you know, Wonderland, you know, where everything upside down and opposite and crazy. And that's where people end up because they don't know. How are you going to tell me what I already know? If I already know, you can't convince me something different. Jesus spoke about hell more than anything else. He kept talking about hell. Hell, you know, you don't want to go there. He said they'll be cast into hell. Then they'll be cast into the outer darkness. They'll be, you know, the lake of fire, all of that. What's the purpose of even mentioning that if it was a fairy tale? Amen. There's a place of eternal burning. Amen. And then there's a place of eternal bliss. Amen. You make the choice. It's as simple as that. Amen. Amen. Let me go on here. So we can't be... we can't be led astray by that. Let me try to get to this. God Almighty. It says, but verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ. So we don't need to be moved, but then there's a time for us to mature. Huh? There's a time for us to mature. We got to learn how to mature because if we don't, he says, we won't be able to speak the truth, nor will we be able to receive the truth. Look at this. You ever notice that when children, they lie for no reason. Just, you know, they make up lies, fantasies. And they, you know, tell you what they have in their mind rather than what they really did or capable of. And that's where a lot of people in the church are. We're living in a fantasy rather than speaking truth. Just speak truth. You ain't got to try to impress people. And that's why we got so many people. And listen, I'm not against prophecy and things like that. But you got a whole bunch of people running behind somebody that's prophesying to them. And you ain't seeing whatever else they got behind that. You don't know if it's a spirit of divination that's telling you these things. You don't know who it is, what it is. And you just run behind it because they gave you a word. I don't need you to tell me I'm blessed. Because the Bible already told me that God wants to bless me. Amen. Y'all hear me? I'm not putting that down, but you can't run and build your life based off what somebody has said to you. But just tell me the truth. What does it say? One thing I know is that the foundation of his word won't change, and his word is true. He said that my word would not return void. He said before my word would pass away, heaven and earth would pass away. Not one jot or one tittle. A jot and a tittle is the dot that dots the I and the cross that goes across the T. He said neither of those will be moved until my word is fulfilled. And I trust his word more than I trust somebody else. Jesus said in John 16:12, he said, I have many things I want to say to you, but you ain't ready. You can't handle it. And when you're immature, God will not speak to you on a certain level because you're not ready. Because you don't understand that some people have taken the word of God out of the rhema context. And what I mean rhema context is because something is written, you take it out of the rhema, the spoken context in which he wants to say it at the moment, and you mess somebody up. That's why it's good to get mature. It's good to grow. It's good to be under somebody who is sound in doctrine. Not somebody that just get up and tell you, the other night I was sleeping, the Lord came to me in a dream and told me this and that. And a little bit, and just go on. I've listened to a guy on the radio. He ain't never read the scripture. He ain't said nothing. He just kept, the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and never quoted, never went to the scripture, never had a foundation. And so how can I build my life off that if there's no foundation? Jesus said, remember VBS, if you build your house upon the sand, it's going to get washed away. But if you put it on a solid foundation, it shall stand. Amen. Y'all with me still? Yes, I don't need a motivational speech. Amen. I need this. Grow up. I need truth. Amen. I need the word of God. Yes. When you grow up, when I was young, boy, did I like them little Debbie cakes. I still kind of like them. But I would eat them for a meal. But now that I'm older, I know I need to eat better. Amen. So I'm going to have to go get some barbecue or something. I got to have something solid because I'm, you know, 240-something pounds. I lost some weight, y'all, but I'm still 240-something pounds. And them cakes ain't going to do it. That's why if I eat them now, I have to eat the whole box. And so what I'm saying here, I know it sounds funny, but what I'm saying is that we got to get past the place that all we want is some sweets. We need food. We need a meal. Something that sobers us up. Amen. And you know what I found out? A person that's immature, when a person, you know, immature, they think they know everything. You can't teach them or tell them nothing. They read their Bible on you while you're trying to preach. Because you ain't saying nothing relevant to them because they're so high. Preach. I tell myself to preach that time. I know some. Not just that, but Paul says that when you ought to be teachers, Hebrews 5 and 12, you need to be taught. You need to go back and be taught the principles of the doctrine when you're supposed to be the one showing people. And what he was talking about teaching, he wasn't saying that everybody just get up and start teaching somebody. He was talking about you teach through your life. When you should be teaching through your life, you need somebody to come back and teach you how to live. And what are we teaching people around us? Huh. Good question, Holy Ghost. What have we taught people about us? Have we taught them that we'll act a fool in a minute? Have we taught them that we used to work at the circus? And we put our clown suit on and act a clown whenever it's time to clown? What have we taught people about us? That we so immature that we don't know how to keep our business to ourselves. You know what mama used to say? Don't you go down there to them people's house and tell them nothing that go on in my house. Because she was what? Mature, and I was immature, so I better not say nothing when I go down the street. Because we can deal with this in the house. But they don't need to be talking about it. Because I was too immature to know that them folks probably just gossip and talk about my mom. But she knew them. She was mature enough to know who to talk to and when to talk to them. Y'all still with me? I know y'all ready for me to quit here. But speak the truth. Now, don't be lying. Don't be exaggerating. Don't be adding to and don't be taking away. When you omit something from the truth, then that's a lie too. All right, let me go on. That they may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ. See, if we are the body, if we are the body of Christ, every one of us are members of his body. If you're a believer, you're a part of the body of Christ. And one thing you got to understand is that if you're a part of the body of Christ, you have one head. Yes. And that's Jesus. Now, in the head, you have the eyes, the mouth, the ears, the nose, the brain. All of everything that gives you any kind of intel or intelligence comes from the head. Yes. Now, we in the body think we're smarter than the head because we try to pray and fool God. We try to fool him and try to tell him what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. And God looking at us saying, you can't do nothing without me. You can't move without the head. I can't turn my body around unless the head go first. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? We can't even turn. You can't turn without Jesus. You can't get your life straight without him. You can't get on the right path and go in the right direction and know what to look at and know what how to discern and know what you ought to hear except you get it from him. But we got to grow up into him, the head. So what is he saying? That, you know, when you had a baby that had a big head and a little bitty body, you say, God, he got a big old head and some big ears. They used to tease me about my ears all the time. But when that boy grows up, the body grows into the head. And now he on TV, 250 pounds, playing for the Raiders. Yeah. Can I say Raiders? I ain't want to say Saints because I ain't want Jones to boo us. But he's on TV. Now you realize how come he had that big head. Because the body had to grow. Yeah. And the body, we got to learn how to hold the head up. You know, when they first start walking, they just off balance. And that's where we are. Falling over because we're off balance because of the head that we have. Y'all with me? Amen. And it's okay for the head to be big because we're growing. We're growing. And it's okay to grow and have growing pains, but we don't want the pain. Okay, let me try to get finished because y'all getting quiet. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supply according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying itself of itself in love. Look at what it says. We need to have the measure of ministry. Understand the measure of ministry. What God gives you, he gives it to you in the measure, and you don't need to go beyond it at the time that he gives it to you. Some of us overstep our bounds. We put our foot in our mouth. We go too far. We offend people in too many different ways, and we get out of ministry because we went beyond our measure. But when you do your part, when you know your role, you can have a winning team. We need to learn how to be connected. He says that every joint supply. What are you supplying? Or are you just a taker? Every joint. That means I got to be linked up with somebody. How can you say you all by yourself? I don't need no Vic and Winans Christian. As long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. The devil is a lie. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. Come on and say amen. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. We need each other. I need you to survive. Y'all don't hear me in here. We got to learn that we can't be all by ourselves. No man is an island. And if you are an island, then you attract the devil in your life. And because you're all by yourself, guess what? The devil knows when you're by yourself. Come on and say amen. And when you're by yourself, you never notice that the lion always goes after the one that's lagging behind the herd. And the Bible said the devil is as a what? Roaring lion. He's looking for who he may devour. If you're lagging behind the herd, he's going to get you. He's going to eat you up. I wish I had somebody. Not only that, but when you're hurt, when you're bleeding, you know, when you're out there yelling at how bad you hurt, that all that does is attract the devil. When you go around telling everybody how bad you hurt, the devil goes, come and finds you. And he say, oh yeah, you hurt? I smell blood. I smell an open wound. I hear you bleeding like a sheep. I'm hurt so bad. You're letting everybody know you hurt so bad. And then you don't even know that the devil is on your trail. Because he's looking for blood and he wants your, what is blood? Blood is the life of a thing and he wants your life. He wants to destroy you and he knows that you're wounded because you're howling like a wounded sheep and you're screaming like somebody that's hurt and the devil's coming your way. Quit telling everybody how bad you hurt. If you hurt, say that's all right. With his stripes, I'm healed. You need to let somebody know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. Do I have anybody in here that said no weapon formed against me shall prosper? Any tongue rising against me and I shall condemn it in the day of judgment. Come on and say amen now. We got to understand the measure of our ministry. And when I understand that, I learn how to connect. I learn how to get with folks that I need to get with. I ain't saying connect with everybody because everybody's not going to be doing the same thing. Everybody's not trying to be on the same page. Everybody ain't got your best interest at heart. Y'all don't hear me in here, but we need to know the measure of ministry. We need to know how far to go. Come on and say amen. But he said that increase of the body edifying itself in love. How can I build up the body? It's by telling them how much I love them. But not only telling them how much I love them, but by showing you how much I love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth today. So let it go and let's grow. I'm trying to let you know that you got to stop some of the stuff that we do and start doing the things that really matter in the body of Christ. Come on and say amen. I need to let you know that we can't continue the same way that we're going, and we can't keep acting the same way that we're acting, but we got to start maturing in God. I wish I had somebody in here. Oh, come on and say amen now. And the Bible says that we need to do this in love. The problem is that we've lost our focus. We don't want to do anything in love anymore. We do it for our own advantages. We do it with our own agendas. We do it because I want something out of it. Well, you know, when you love somebody, love does not seek its own. Love does not do things just so that it can get something done back. Oh, come on and shout amen. But that's what lust do. Some of us lust in the body. We want somebody to do something for us. That's why we do something for them. I never forget somebody said that I pay my tithes, so I ought to be able to get a loan. If you're doing it for to get a loan, then go open up your Christmas club. Go over there to the bank and put that money in the bank, because I give tithes because God loves me and I know he requires it, so I love him back. Do I have anybody in the house? You see, when you love the body, you say, I give you whatever I have to give, and I don't look for nothing back. Anybody love your children? How many of you give to your children and you say, I want everything back? They can't pay me back. They're already in debt over $1 million with me, so they can't pay me back. I wish I had somebody. So I do what I do because I love them. Oh, come on and shout glory. But when we connect to the right people, the Bible says in John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and you are the branches. In other words, be connected, because you can't do nothing without him. I wish I had somebody. He said, when you're connected to me, he said, you'll produce good fruit. And when I need to prune you, I will. I remove what I need to remove so that you can produce much fruit and more fruit. Do I have anybody? God is saying to you today, I'm trying to prune your life. Quit crying because they left your life. There was somebody he was trying to move out so that he can make you more productive. Quit crying because things didn't go your way. He was trying to move things out of your life so that you can become more productive. Do I have anybody that is saying, I'm going to stop crying. I'll come on and say yes, and I'm going to grow up. I'm going to stop talking about how bad it hurt, and I'm going to take a gospel so I can get up and do the work. Somebody shout glory. Shout hallelujah. Somebody say yes. When I look at the maturity, the progression of maturity, there are several Greek words. I can tell you all of them, but I don't have time to explain them all. There's nepios, there's paideon, there's technon. Oh, come on and say yes. There's weos, and all of those are the progressions from a baby to a toddler, from a toddler to a teenager, from a teenager to a grown man. And Jesus, when it's referred to him, he is a weos. What does that mean? A grown man who can build his own house, but he decides to build his father's house. Jesus said, in my father's house, there are many mansions. I wish I had somebody. He said, I go to prepare a place for you in my father's house. Somebody shout glory. If you're a grown man or a grown woman, the man with the womb, then you ought to be preparing for your father's house. Go out and build souls. Go bring people to the Lord. Tell somebody how much Jesus loves them. I wish I had somebody. Quit condemning folks and begin to encourage folks. Somebody shout glory. When Jesus died on the cross, he was able to get off if he wanted, but because he was a mature Christian, because he was a mature Christ, he decided that I'm not going to lay my life down just for nothing, but I'm laying it down for the world. Somebody say yes, because I love people. That's why I'm laying it down. I wish I had somebody. I heard somebody say that they killed Jesus, but they didn't really kill him. He chose to die because the Bible says that he gave up the ghost and he died. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the earth began to rock. He died until the centurion soldier declared, surely, surely, he is the Son of God. Will you declare that he's the Son of God? They took him off the cross, put him in a borrowed tomb. He needed it only for the weekend, because early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand.
And let me tell you about the power. He gives you power to mature, power to grow up, power to say, that's enough. I'm not going to be like this always, but I'm getting up from here.